The abuse starts slowly. Eventually, you start to wonder if something's off. But no, surely, it's just your mind playing tricks on you again. Your worry grows as time goes on. You finally find a way to verbalize what is happening, and you're met with disbelief, with statements like, you should be happy anyone is putting up with you. Your partner is a saint for dealing with your disabilities day after day. Surely others would see if this was abuse. After all, the cuts, the bruises, could be due to clumsiness from Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It must be in your head, like all those hallucinations. So you stop talking. We Are Disabled Survivors Unite, a UK organization founded out of a realization that disabled victims and survivors are often ignored in the fights against abuse and sexual violence. We work with existing services to make sure the work is done with us in mind. After all, we are over 3.5 times more likely to be victims of a violent crime. These testimonies are a mixture of personal experiences and stories shared with us by disabled survivors. All names have been changed. I was abused. I tried to reach out and was ignored. The side effects of the abuse were simply seen as my autism getting worse. Even though the stress caused my immune system to shut down further, there could be no solving my case. I couldn't be abused by my partner. I was disabled. Through Disabled Survivors Unite, we have found that stories like mine are incredibly common. The threads connecting them are an unwillingness to believe and the utilization of disabilities in perpetuating abuse. Inducing nonverbal states, withholding care, food, and medication, and prying on the isolation of disabled individuals are some of the more common examples. These forms of abuse are not often recognized in the eyes of the law and can be perpetrated by romantic partners, family members, carers, and institutions.
The domestic abuse disabled people experience is often not recognized by care providers, support services, and even friends and family. So often it manifests in an unconventional way that others have not seen before or are unaware is a form of abuse. We are taught to look for warning signs, but if you don't know what they are, how can you do that? In the last few months alone, I have talked with countless survivors whose abuse was ignored or grossly misunderstood. They have told me about wheelchairs and other necessary equipment being damaged to prevent them from leaving the house, benefits money going to a partner who withheld it from them, and being abused, and the physical effects of that abuse being hidden by their abuser, who blame it on their clumsiness, which is a symptom of their disability. I spoke to one survivor called Jade, who told me that she was abused by her personal assistant. She spoke to her social worker to request a change in her care provider, but this request was denied. The social worker told her that if she did not have carers, she would not be allowed to leave the house on her own. If she did so, she would end up being raped. The social worker said this knowing that Jade had been raped as a child. During our conversation, she said, I allowed these people into my home, people I thought I could trust, and they abused me. Unless you've been through it, you'll never understand the impact that it has on a person. The abuse may have stopped, but it never really ends. Another survivor reached out to us, saying that for a long time, they didn't know they were being raped by their partner. Abuse is very subtle, and processing things literally due to their autism meant they could not identify what was happening and that it was abuse until others around them reacted with surprise and horror. They blame themselves and their disability for sensory overload when they were being touched by their partner. Victim blaming is a pervasive aspect of rape culture, and when combined with ableism, it can prevent a disabled person who is experiencing domestic abuse from coming forward. We are often taught that our disabilities are inconvenient, that they cause all of our problems, and it can be easy to blame terrible things that happen to us on the fact that we are disabled. It can be hard to recognise that we are not the problem, that we are not the one to blame. I hope that these testimonies send a strong message that disabled people are often forgotten in conversations of domestic abuse. People are quick to pin the effects of that abuse on the person's disability, and so it continues. The warning signs are there. They are clear to see if only we will look for them.
1 in 5 people are disabled. Why is it assumed that disabled people are not victims of violence and abuse too? One of our most harrowing stories stated, "For me, being in an abusive relationship meant always feeling like I had to make up for the crime of being disabled." The recognition that disabled people both experience domestic abuse and experience it at a disproportionately high rate needs to be embedded in policy, legislation and services, rather than an afterthought. Imagine finally escaping your abuser, only to be shuffled from women's refuge to women's refuge, simply because not one of them was wheelchair accessible. Faye had to be carried upstairs. Eventually, she had no other choice than to go against the police's advice and return to her adapted wheelchair-friendly home. This is where she had previously lived with her abusive partner. The police were unable to provide accessible accommodation, but still told her to return, and that in doing so, she was asking for trouble. We were helping Faye finding accessible counselling services, but the police told her, against their own policies, that she wasn't allowed to access that support. She told us, "I've lost all faith. I've asked so many people for help on a number of occasions, and they've all let me down. I saved myself." There is only one specialist domestic violence service for deaf people in the UK. There is only one specialist service designed to meet needs of disabled people with learning disabilities. I cannot tell you how many safe houses are accessible in the UK because there's not currently data on that, though we are trying to do research. Moreover, 17% of refuges have been forced to close due to funding cuts. Local cuts have fallen most harshly on people from minority ethnic communities, LGBTQ women and disabled women. Imagine finally gathering the courage to ask for help, only to be told that your experiences don't count as abuse. My mental illness was used to make out that I was a liar and morally bankrupt. I had to run away to a new city to start again. Of course, my mental health problems were made far worse by my experiences, and the PTSD morphed into enduring personality change after catastrophic experience. I honestly believed, had I not had PTSD and hypermobility, a lot of his excuses would have not been readily believed. I'm sure that my evidence wouldn't have been practically ignored because I was too emotional. This is what Tom told us about his experience with the UK legal system. The courts frequently discriminate against us, using our disability against us, framing us as unreliable witnesses because of our conditions. Institutional abuse is overwhelmingly experienced by disabled people, yet it is left off of the majority of safeguarding techniques, and there's an obvious lack of specific legislation protecting people with disabilities from violence. Although in the UK, UK domestic violence legislation has been reformed following the Domestic Violence Crime and Victims Act of 2004 and the Serious Crime Bill of 2015, there are often amendments made that damage the rights of disabled people. Imogen contacted us with her experience of institutional abuse. "An institution failed to keep me safe, put my life in danger, then punished me for it, making my condition worse. I will never get my health back. I just can't go back. And worse still, they don't even recognise the abuse they inflicted or the damage they caused me. All I can remember of that time is flashes of things, my bed and pain. I wake up on the wet, cold ground time and time again, and I couldn't remember how I got there or why I was there. I can still taste the dirt and leaves in my mouth and the wetness soaking into my dreams, my jeans even. I walked into walls, into the roads, and was hit by moving vehicles. When I finally told someone, he told me I was being lazy and that I was making up to get out of work. I'm sick of being told that my experiences are invalid just because people can't be bothered to understand. We require a needs-led approach with a user-led organisations at the heart of development. The experiences of survivors, disabled or otherwise, should be central to how we deal with domestic violence.
We support services to become accessible by offering consultancy and training, but the barrier that comes up time and time again is money. Many services we work with are struggling to operate on the budget that they already have. They simply can't afford to make adaptations to their buildings or redesign their services to become inclusive. The UK government urgently need to reverse the cuts that they have left these services underfunded, and they need to inject more money into them so they can afford to become accessible to disabled people. It is also important to recognise the effect of austerity and welfare reform. In recent years, social security for disabled people has been cut significantly, and we know that the poorer a person is, the less likely it is they will be able to escape abuse. The closure of the Independent Living Fund and further cuts to social services has had a detrimental effect on those of us who require assistance and support. In turn, people who rely on their abusers for care are less likely to be able to leave. It also means social services are failing to protect people like Jade. There is a housing crisis and limited accessible accommodation, which forces people to remain in abusive relationships. One person said to us, "I didn't have anywhere else to go. The choice I had was homelessness with four children." Others, who are able to escape abuse, like Faye, have to remain in the homes where they were previously lived with their abuser, and this compromises their safety. Ultimately, it must be recognised that the welfare reforms the UK government have implemented are a targeted attack on disabled people. Not only do they perpetuate domestic violence by making it incredibly difficult for victims to leave their abusive partners, but these policies in themselves are abusive. A few months ago, the UN declared that the reforms made by the UK government were a violation of disabled people's human rights. Ministers refused to accept this or its recommendations. In conclusion, we identify three key changes need to protect and support disabled survivors in our country. Firstly, government need to urgently assess the impact of welfare reform and recognise how living in these circumstances prevent disabled people from escaping abuse. Secondly, government need to invest long-term funding into support services across the country which will enable them to help disabled survivors. And thirdly, government need to acknowledge the failings outlined by the UN's report and follow out its recommendations. We deserve to have our human rights back. Until these changes are made, our government will remain complicit in the abuse of disabled people. We want equality, nothing more, nothing less, and we will continue to campaign until this is achieved. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Disabled Survivors.